It's 10 a.m. I'll call the meeting to order of the Board of Assessment Review for March 24th, 2025. Mr. Keeler, do we have any changes to the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the board. I have no change to the agenda.
My knowledge, we don't have the minutes for March 21st. Is that correct? So, could I have a motion to strike the minutes on the agenda and approve the amended agenda?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion by Mrs. Wanner and a second by Ms. Angel to approve the amended agenda, striking the meeting minutes. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Yes.
Ms. Wanner? Godwin?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. Motion passes. Agenda is approved. Next is public comment. Any member present today may come forward to address the board. Any comment must be limited to items over which the board has control or jurisdiction and must not address the specifics of any appeal and are limited to no more than 3 minutes. State your name and your address.
My name is Mulog. Mr. Chairman, if this board schedules debate time on the agenda, I'd be happy to challenge the constitution of restricting subject matter versus content of speech. However, I ask that you do not do so during the public's limited time to speak. Delaware Title IX, 7004, 2 and 3 states this board shall determine whether the assessment is correct and review the methods by which the Director of Finance has established assessments. However, when presented with the fact that a property was leasehold ownership, this board failed to review the methods or determine if that assessment was correct. A leasehold establishes occupancy rights for a specified period of time. A fee simple ownership establishes irrevocable rights in perpetuity. Mr. Suck testified that a property was deeded condominium but failed to establish the effects of a leasehold interest on assessed value. Condominium refers to jointship of property elements, not duration of occupancy. Equity ownership and liability remain undetermined because analysis of the lease was not entered into the record. This is not my opinion. It is established appraisal practice and is case law. Such an egregious error have occurred? A short answer is because you're not complying with the law. You occupy authority while ignoring responsibility. According to your rules of review addendum, under state law, there is a presumption assessment has clearly valued your property. You have the burden of showing that your assessment is correct. I find no such law and challenge anyone to prove that wrong. How can a property owner show their assessment violates the Constitution Uniformity Clause when the county refuses to provide for inspection of assessments? I warned you of the consequences of adopting and following unconstitutional procedures which violate rules of evidence and allow hearsay testimony. According to Delaware professional regulations, your expert witness was licensed as a trainee for approximately 9 years and never obtained an appraiser license. Consider this the next time you allow hearsay testimony on the record. I only wish today's appellants a better experience than those before them.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda. I'll ask Mr. Keeler to read those items.
Thank you, Chairman. We have six parcels on the consent agenda. First one is parcel 134-13.00-1844.00. Appellant Smith LLC. Second one is parcel 135-19.00-129.00, Appellant Leo Clark. The third is parcel 234-10.00-338.00, Appellant Joseph and Leslie Sturba. Fourth item is parcel 533-11.00-428.00, Appellant Thomas and Donna Seitz. Fifth item is parcel 135-14.15-54.00, Appellant Sussex Suites LLC. And the last item is parcel 334-12.00 98.01, appellant MECO LLC. That is it for the consent agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board? If not, I accept the motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion to approve this consent agenda by Ms. Wanner and a second by Ms. Angel. And now we will vote. Mr. Davis.
Aye.
Ms. Angel.
Aye.
Ms. Wanner.
Aye.
Ms. Godwin.
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. The motion is approved on the consent agenda. Next, we have hearing of, we have two hearings today. The first is for Jamie Seikut, parcel number 133-1.17.00-16.00-706A7, 10102 Sawmill Way, Millsboro, Delaware. I do not see the appellant here, and they have checked the box that they did not intend to appear. Mr. Keeler.
Yes. Based on the appellant's application and the referee hearing, the assessment office offered the appellant a stipulation agreement that brought the assessed value of their parcel down to $331,000, which the appellant did not accept. The appellant chose not to appear before the board today. The assessment office believes we have the correct assessed value on the property based on the following. Tyler has three townhouse comps within Wharton's Bluff subdivision that sold during the 30-month review period. One was on June 9th, 22 for $389,000. One was December 22nd of 22 for $319,000. And the third one was on March 28th of 22 for $379,000. There was another townhouse unit within Wharton's Bluff that sold just after the review period on October 20th of 23 for $365,000. That was also another end unit and a little smaller in square footage than the appellants. I make a motion to uphold the current assessed value on the parcel for the above stated reasons.
At this time, if any member of the board believes that the appellant has not presented any competent evidence of substantial overvaluation in their application, a member of the board may present a motion to deny the appeal. Or if the board feels there is enough evidence, we can hear more from the assessments.
I will make a motion to deny the appeal, the reasoning being that the comps provided by Tyler were all located within the Wharton's Bluff neighborhood, and based on the data provided on page 61 of the package today, the price per square foot of the subject property at $177 was below the average for the comparables in the Wharton's Bluff neighborhood of $178.94.
Okay, do we have a second?
A second.
So we have a motion and a second. We'll vote, Mr. Davis.
I make a motion to, I make a motion to deny the appeal.
Based on?
Based on that all the comps provided by Tyler are situated in the neighborhood and the value seems correct.
Ms. Angel?
I move to deny the appeal based on the comp at Tyler Technologies.
Honor.
I vote to dismiss the appeal based on record evidence.
Godwin.
I vote to dismiss based on previous statement.
And chair votes to dismiss. I think Ms. Godwin said it best. I concur with her findings. So the appeal for reassessment is denied. The appellant will have the right to for review in Superior Court if they wish. So, our second hearing today is for David and Stephanie Williams, 30839 Park Terrace, Lewis, Delaware, for parcel number 234-5.00-654.00. Mr. Keeler, do you have anything to add?
Not at this time.
Okay. If one or both of you would like to come forward. I'll swear you in along with Mr. Keeler and Mr. Zook. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Okay. As the appellant, you may not present new evidence not included in your application. There it is. However, you're limited to documentation and evidence that was included in your appeal application. You have 15 minutes to present.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is David Williams. This is my wife, Stephanie Williams. And we are here today to appeal the assessed value of our full-time residence located at 30839 Park Terrace. We do have some supporting documents I would like to give to the members of council.
Was this evidence included in your appeal form?
Yes.
Then that's,
and it's the summary that we...
If it was included in your appeal form, it's absolutely fine.
We have it. We wrote it out for you. Simply.
But are they the pictures that were included?
Yes, but they're in color. We purchased our house at 30839 Park Terrace on October 16th of 2020 for $389,000. Now, this is roughly 2 months before the comparable time frame, the comparable window time frame, which began on January 1st of 2021. Our appraised property value of $544,200 is substantially higher than the comparable properties that we submitted. We've also discovered that the square footage was incorrect per the county property card. We found that the driveway measurement per the property card was more than twice the actual measurement. Our lot has severe flooding issues after a rainstorm. Our home has an aging, damaged, and deteriorating shingle roof with substantial damage due to wind. Our lot acreage is valued at substantially more than the price of the last lot sold in our development. The rear of our lot backs up to a new development. Our lot is not a premium lot. It does not have a pond view except when it rains. The front view of our property faces a sewage reclamation field. Our lot has a 24-inch deep water drainage ditch in the front yard. 34 windows in our home are cloudy and failing. The company that made them, BF Rich, is out of business. So far, we have replaced 3 window sashes at a cost of $235 each, with 31 more to go. The cost of replacing each entire window would be staggering. The roads in our development are deteriorating, and a large solar panel farm was recently built in the middle of our development. Now, the specific points of contention that we have. Number one, our driveway. The actual measurement of the driveway is 20 feet by 50 feet for a total of 1,000 square feet. The property card shows a measurement of 50 feet by 49 and a half feet for a total of 2,475 square feet. This is incorrect. Number two, the measurement of the right side of our home is shown as 59 feet on the property card. This is incorrect. The actual measurement is 54 and a half feet, which is a difference of 4.5 feet. As one of the photos you have shows, the garage is actually shifted back into the home, thus reducing the interior square footage of the home by 103.5 feet. This makes the interior square footage of the home 2,183.5 square feet, as opposed to the 2,287 square feet on the property card. This is a difference of 103.5 square feet. Number four, there is a discrepancy in the property card for the garage. The code description, C13 on the property card, lists a frame garage with an area of 552 square feet. The actual measurement on the property record card shows the correct measurement of 20.5 feet by 22 feet, which equals 451 square feet. This is a difference of 101 square feet. The property card diagram shows the front of the garage extending further than it actually does, which results in a 4.5 foot reduction in the length of the right side of the house. The property card shows that the depth of the front porch is 6 feet. The actual depth of the porch is 5 feet, not 6 feet. And this results in a square footage of 90 as to 100 square feet. The area of our property that is subject to flooding when it rains is 31 feet wide by 155 feet long, or 4,805 square feet. This is 21% of our entire lot, which is valued at $141,100. The value of the affected area is $29,631. Our lot valuation of $141,000 is substantially higher by $58,600 than the selling price of the last similar lot sold in our development at 22611 Ramble Road for $82,500 on April 29th of 2020.
Thank you. Mr. Keeler, your response?
Based on the appellant's application, the referee hearing, the assessment office offered a stipulation agreement that brought the assessed value of his parcel down to $525,600, which the appellant did not accept. I will turn it over to our witness from Tyler Technologies, Mr. Ryan Zell.
Before that, folks, Mr. Keeler, were there any questions for these folks on cross-exam?
I do not have any.
And were there any questions for the board members to ask these folks for their cross-exam?
I have a few. So, first item, you mentioned your driveway.
Yes.
On the property card. Okay. I'm assuming you're looking at the permit information square. Is that where you were referring to?
It was on the
property card.
Property card.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So the DW is for dwelling. That's the measuring of your dwelling, not your driveway.
On
the 50 by 49.6
DW
means dwelling, not driveway.
Okay.
So okay. Just to clarify that for you, okay, so that you know you're not being over assessed
okay,
for that. That is your dwelling.
Okay, thank you. Misinterpreted that.
We do not assess driveways.
Right. So it's the dwelling.
Okay, thank you.
My second question is regarding the flooding matter that you're talking about. And as far as that coming to us and your property assessment, and you're seeing that that is affecting, I'm assuming your resale value is what you're saying.
Yes.
Has that matter been brought to the attention of your homeowners association, builder? Was it like that when you purchased the home? Those are just some of the questions that I have. Are there anything as far as that being rectified through those channels?
No. The short answer is no.
Okay. That's all I have.
I have a question. Point number 7 about the lot evaluation is substantially higher than the selling price of the last similar lot sold on April 29th, 2020. You are aware that the time frame within which we are speaking is January of 2021 to July 1st of 2023.
Yes.
So we're looking at the assessed value as of July 1st, 2023.
Yes.
Which this comp or this statement is irrelevant.
Yes, that was the only one available. So.
Okay.
Sir, you're claiming the square footage is wrong. By how many square feet are you saying that your house differs from the public record?
103.5 feet.
Okay.
Any more questions?
I wanted to say something, that we measured every square inch of that.
You'll have an opportunity to
okay.
provide a rebuttal, ma'am.
Okay.
There's no more questions at this time. Assessment or a member of the board, if they believe that the appellant has not presented any competent evidence of substantial overvaluation, they may do so at this time. A member of the board may present this in the form of a motion to deny. However, if the board believes the appellant has provided competent evidence, the assessment will present evidence in support of their record. There's no motion. I will turn it over to
assessment and
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Suck. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, just for the record, based on the appellant's application and the referee hearing, assessment office offered the appellant a stipulation agreement, brought the assessed value of his parcel down to $525,600, which the appellant did not accept. I will turn it over to our witness from Tyler Technologies, Mr. Ryan Suck, to support the assessed value we currently have on the property.
Thank you. So of the comparables that the appellant has provided, they did provide 6 comparable sales from within the time frame. 4 out of the 6 are outside of the subject subdivision. Only comparable 1 and 3 are located within the subject subdivision. Tyler did provide comparable sales. We have a total of 9 that have all sold within the subject subdivision. 2 of them sold in 2023, 2 of them sold in 2022, and 5 of them sold in 2021. First comparable sold on April 28th of 2023 for $525,000, 2,172 square feet. Time adjusted that up to $532,400. Sale price at $245,12 per square foot. The next comparable sold on March 14th of 23 for $570,000, 2,400 square feet. Time adjusted price $581,400. Sale price per square foot, 24225. Comparable 3, sold on 9/20 of 2022, $615,2217 square feet. Time adjusted up to 6:53:07, $294.86 per square foot. Comparable 4, sold on 9/19 of 22, $599,900, square feet. Time adjusted up to 6:37:07, $282.67 per square foot. The other five comparables are a little bit more dated, back in 2021. The median price per square foot, time adjusted, is $260.30. The average time adjusted is $264.71. The subject is currently valued at $237.95 per square foot. So all of the comparables are within the subject subdivision, and we are fine with that assessed value. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Keeler or Mr. Zuck?
Yes. The 22586 Ramble Road property described as 2,400 square feet with a 2.5 bath, fireplace, patio, and fire pit. That property is over 200 square feet more living space and an extra half bath than our property. 22631 Ramble Road is a 0.79 acre lot, substantially larger than 30839 Park Terrace. That lot abuts the community pond with a pond view, has an oversized two-car garage along with an outside patio and shed. The larger lot, oversized garage, and pond location do not compare well with.
And Mr. Williams, I apologize for interrupting, but this is a cross-exam, so are there any questions you have? You'll have an opportunity to rebut this evidence with further statements, like you're saying, but this one is specifically just about questions, okay, if you may have for Mr. Zuck or Mr. Keeler. Okay? And I apologize for interrupting.
Thank you. Mr. Zuck, which method of measuring did the person who assessed our property or reviewed our property use? Do you know if it was a laser or tape measure?
We use multiple types of devices. A 100-foot tape measure is one, and a laser measurer is another.
Okay. So it could have been either.
Excuse me?
It could have been either.
It could have been either. That is correct.
Okay. Now, did they rely on the incorrect information on the property card?
No. We went out and we collected fresh. We hooked the tape measure on and we did walk to gather that information.
Our property was listed on January 13th, 2018, and sold on October 16th of 2020. That's a period of 2 years and 9 months. Do you find that to be exceedingly long time for a residential property in Lewis to sell?
It was listed on 2018 and sold in 2020?
Yeah, 2 years and 9 months.
Yeah, that seems like a long time to be on the market.
Yeah, the average residential time in Lewis is approximately 107 days, and this property took 1,000. According to the real estate professionals, the top reasons for slow sales are overpricing and specific problems that need addressing. Do you agree with that?
There could be a number of reasons.
The top.
For overpricing?
Overpricing and specific problems.
I guess.
How long have you been involved in the appraisal profession, Mr. Zuck? Roughly.
22 years.
Are you familiar with the tenet that states the true and fair value in money for property tax evaluation purposes is its market value or the amount of money a buyer willing but not obligated to buy would pay for it to a seller willing but not obligated to sell?
Yes.
In your opinion, if a prospective buyer was looking at a house for sale and saw that it was missing shingles, had water laying in the yard, and discovered that the square footage was incorrectly listed, would that impact their decision on whether or not to buy the property?
It could.
And would those conditions affect the value of the property as well?
It could.
Thank you.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Keeler or Mr. Zuck?
So I just have one. So you just talked about market value and what somebody is willing to buy and sell for. So if Mr. Zuck, I'm sorry. No, nothing for Mr. Zuck at all.
I do. Mm-hmm. I have a question for Mr. Zuck. So when you're talking about making the time adjustment based on the sales and when the sales are happening, is there a baseline percentage that you're using for those adjustments?
We did our analysis, and we do have a schedule that we're using for them.
Okay.
Any further questions? Now it's your opportunity to rebut what Mr. Zuck said.
This.
I gave this information. Okay. Well, I believe I've already basically rebutted the comparables that Mr. Zuck now we do have one as well. 33750 Reservoir Drive is a premium lot with a pond view and a full basement. That house sold for $450,000 in June of 2021. I have no further. Question.
Assessment, do you have any further comments to their rebuttal?
I have a few. So the comparables that we're using, we do want to stay within the subject subdivision. Most of the comps came from Heron Bay, which those comparables are less money than what they're selling for in the ridings at Rehoboth. The comparable that the appellant mentioned, 33750 Reservoir, that did sell on 6/14 of 21 for $450. Our valuation date is July 1 of 2023. Time adjusted, that valuation comes in at $529,200, $253 per square foot. The subject is at $237 per square foot. It is roughly $23 less than the median, and it's about $18 less than the average price per square foot on comparables used in the ridings at Rehoboth. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any closing comments?
I have a summation when that time is due.
Sure. Now's the time.
We purchased 30839 Park Terrace as our primary residence on October 16th of 2020. It was the only house for sale in the development, and it had been for sale for 2 years and 9 months. We paid $389,000 for the house. The date of purchase of our house was slightly over 2 months before the window for comparable properties opened. Our purchase price is very similar to the 6 comparable properties that we submitted. We have added a propane fireplace and a shed. The cost for these two items was $5,800. We discovered major discrepancies in the measurements of the property. 103.5 square feet difference in the area of the home, 101 square feet difference in the area of the garage, and a 10 square foot difference in the area of the front porch. And then it rained. We discovered that the entire southeast side of our yard flooded, and the water stayed there for days. It even came up on the garage floor. That issue still persists. The area of the property affected by the flooding measures 31 feet by 155 feet, which is 4,805 square feet, or 21% of our 0.52 acre lot. The value of that affected area per our land appraisal of $141,100 per acre valuation would be $29,631. And then the wind began to blow. We lost multiple shingles and fascia on several different occasions, and that continues to this day. And then our windows began to fail. We found that the window manufacturer, BF Rich, went out of business, and we had no warranty on our 34 failing window sashes. We have introduced six comparable properties that reflect what the value of our property should be, notwithstanding the obvious detriments of the property. The average value of the six comparable properties we provided is $404,483. The average value of the five comparable properties submitted by Tyler Technologies is $551,980. The average value of our six comparable properties and Tyler Technologies' five comparable properties combined is $478,232. Recent sales in our area do not demonstrate that the market is rising. If you take into account the defects of our property, including the incorrect square footage measurement, the flooding, consistent wind damage to our roof, the value of 30839 Park Terrace should be even less than the average of the other properties which have no such defects. Based on our presentation of evidence, we feel our assessment should be reduced from $54,200.
$544,200.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a closing comments by assessment or Mr. Tyler or Mr. Sook?
We do have the current assessed value at $525,600 on your property. The six comps that have time-adjusted sale values above your subject property assessed value that range from $653,700 to $529,200. The average price per square foot is below the average, and your subject property is valued at $237.95 a square foot. Based on those reasons, we believe we had the current assessed value of the property correct. Mr. Zuck, do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. That said, I will entertain a motion to close the record.
I'll make the motion to close the record.
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Wanner and a second by Ms. Angel to close the record on the hearing. Mr. Davis.
Aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. The record is closed. Therefore, if any member of the board feel that the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, we will need a motion to deny the appeal. Or if someone feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we will need a motion to approve the appeal. May do so at this time.
I'm going to make a motion to deny the appeal at this time. The reason is that the comps provided by the appellate are based on another development. Four of those comps are from another development. Now, the Ridings is a very large development, and I'm just struggling to understand why we didn't have more comps
from that development that you are currently in. And so that is my reason for denying it, just because I don't have the comps that I need.
Is there a second?
I second it. Based on insufficient data and going to Heron Bay for the comparables that are they're basing their value on. Plus, they use the oldest and smallest comps in the neighborhood for ridings.
I have a motion by Ms. Wanner and a second by Mr. Davis to deny the appeal. At this time, we will vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Don't forget to provide your reasoning, folks, even if it's just for the reasons contained in your motion.
Mr. Davis? Reasons previously?
Based on the previous stated reasons for the comparables.
Ms. Angel?
My motion is to deny based on the lack of the supporting evidence for the comps and based on the reevaluation and the explanation that Tyler.
Ms. Wanner?
I vote to deny based on the reasons I had previously stated.
Ms. Godwin?
First of all, I'm sorry for what you're going through with your home and your property. I understand that that's very frustrating. With this, I'm going to vote to deny based on the fact that I feel that with your property, you are falling within the means of the average price per square foot and based on the comparables within the development that your house is in.
And the chair votes to deny based on the record and the testimony provided today. So the appeal is denied 5-0. However, you have the right to seek judicial review in Superior Court, so if you desire. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion to adjourn by Ms. Wanner and a second by Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis?
Aye, sir.
Ms. Angel?
Aye.
Ms. Wanner?
Aye.
Ms. Godwin?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. This meeting is adjourned at 10:42.